Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined, I'm very pleased to say, by one of the go-to guys in Washington, D.C. when it comes to matters involving, well, immigration and border security and enforcement of the laws that bear on these issues. He is the executive director of an indispensable organization, the Center for Immigration Studies. His name is Mark Krikorian. You have seen him in all the right places, including commenting as best he can on what Donald Trump has done with respect to this program called Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals, better known as DACA. Mark Krikorian, thank you very much for taking a few minutes to try to help walk us through what Donald Trump hath wrought in the past 24 hours. I compared this to what it would have looked like if King Solomon had actually split the baby, because it certainly seems as though that's what we've kind of got now, is one very substantial mess. Am I missing something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to carry that metaphor to a gruesome conclusion, but it's more like King Solomon putting the baby in a blender. I mean, it's a complete mess, because the first thing that the president did on Tuesday in announcing the wind down of DACA was, you know, long overdue and I think put together prudently and sensibly. DACA is an illegal program that Obama instituted, a two-year renewable amnesty, which he did when Congress wouldn't do it lawfully and there was an election approaching. So for political expediency, even though he said he couldn't do it, he did it.
He said it repeatedly he couldn't do it, that it would be unconstitutional, correctly.
Right. Donald Trump had campaigned on getting rid of it, said he'd get rid of it on day one. He didn't. I guess he meant day one of the school year or day one of September or something like that. But the point is, better late than never. And he gave Congress a six-month grace period before anybody's work permit expired to do their job and come up with some kind of legislative package. And the White House talked about adding things like E-Verify or changes in chain migration law, that sort of thing, as well as, you know, wall funding in some kind of package. Okay, well, so far, so good. The problem is then that very night, literally just a few hours later, he then tweets out that if Congress doesn't do anything in 6 months, well, he'll revisit the issue, whatever that means. It's not clear what that means, but the only way Congress was ever going to do anything is if they had a deadline. And with that one tweet, he undid the deadline that he had just set that very morning. It was, I'm beginning to suspect he'd hired a ghostwriter to write The Art of the Deal, because this is not the way you make a deal, by negotiating with yourself on day one.
Well, of course, this has been somewhat overshadowed by the very controversial decision he made with the folks he's now calling Nancy and Chuck, Nancy Pelosi and Charles Schumer, respectively, the minority leader of the House of Representatives and the minority leader of the Senate. These are people who have obviously had the better of President Trump, it seems, on repeated occasions, but particularly in this exercise involving the debt ceiling and, you know, funding for the government operations for the next 3 months. But when all is said and done, Congress is presumably, if I'm not mistaken, Mark Krikorian, going to do something about this DACA program and perhaps immigration reform of an unspecified nature more generally. Looking in your crystal ball, what do you expect is going to, in fact, emerge from this this blenderized arrangement?
I mean, at this point, maybe nothing would be the best option, but there's kind of the worst case scenario and best case scenario if something gets passed. The worst case, absolute worst case scenario, is they simply pass a naked amnesty for the people who have DACA. In other words, with no offsetting other measures, nothing, just a straight up amnesty. That, I think, is probably unlikely, because I don't think even the Paul Ryan folks in Congress who are, you know, open borders in their hearts, but they can't really be that way. Even they wouldn't vote for that because it's politically problematic. The somewhat less bad, but still very bad result would be they pass an amnesty and bundle it with a little bit of money for the wall and maybe a little money for extra detention facilities, something like that. In other words, almost fig leaves that don't really do very much. The best case scenario is they combine an amnesty for the DACAs, which I'm for. I mean, I'm a squish on this. If they actually grew up here, I think there's a case you can make for a mercy case basically for them. But any amnesty has two consequences. One, it attracts illegal immigration, new illegal immigration in the future. And two is it has these downstream chain migration, legal immigration consequences. So the best case scenario, in my opinion, is they pass an amnesty for the DACA's, relatively straightforward, rip off the Band-Aid, get it over with amnesty. But as part of it, they mandate the E-Verify system. That's that online system that helps businesses actually know whether the people they're hiring are lying to them about who they are and whether they're authorized to work. And changes along the lines of Senator Cotton's RAISE Act, RAISE, like give a raise to people, which would, among other things, focus family immigration just on husbands, wives, and little kids. So it doesn't have this constantly metastasizing chain of relatives. And that's important here because if you're going to amnesty these people, what you'd be doing is then creating whole new migration chains for, you know, decades into the future.
Right. And a further magnet for migration as well, of course. So, Mark, one of the most troubling pieces of all of this was, as you said, that the president, having made, at least in the form of his attorney general, a principled argument that Obama was right initially when he said he didn't have the constitutional authority to implement DACA, and that the thing had to be sent to Congress if there is going to be any kind of program along these lines. What do we make of the fact that he said he would revisit it? If Congress does indeed respond, as you say they likely will, which is not to act within the deadline because now he's going to fix it all by himself, doesn't that put us into the position of this president also doing something unconstitutional about DACA?
Oh, absolutely. Although he is constrained in what he can do because DACA really is being wrapped up. They stopped taking new applications for DACA as soon as they announced it, which is something they should have done 10 minutes after he took his oath of office in January. They also have said, and this gets lost in the news, that if you have a work permit, because that's what DACA is really, is a work permit, if you have that and it expires in the next 6 months, you need to apply for renewal now before October 5. And that after October 5, there is no more DACA, no more applications, nothing. Whatever you have continues until it expires. So 5 months after that is when the deadline that he set, when people's work permits will start expiring, he can't really start up DACA again unless he specifically, explicitly goes against his own attorney general's legal opinion that DACA is unconstitutional. And I don't think he can do that. I think that tweet was really just the president freelancing and wanting, you know, Nancy and Chuck to feel good about himself.
And Ivanka.
And Ivanka, yeah, exactly.
We're almost out of time. Just very quickly, let me ask you, Mark Krikorian. There is a suit now that's been filed in the aftermath of this decision by Washington State and 14 others that are basically claiming, look, this is just a case of anti-Mexican bigotry on the part of the president. What would your response to that be?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's a frivolous lawsuit. The judge actually should fine the, sanction the people bringing this lawsuit. California is going to bring one, too, because it's absurd on its face. The president is ending with a memo, an illegal program that was created with a memo. It wasn't a law. It wasn't even an executive order. It was just a memo. There is no grounds for a lawsuit. Unfortunately, in the Ninth Circuit, you probably can find some judge who doesn't really believe in law anymore and thinks that he is the law. So there's a real danger here, at least that would be held up. But the Supreme Court can't uphold this kind of lawsuit. I mean, like I said, this is even more frivolous than most of these lawsuits that the lefties file. Unfortunately, in this post-law, post-constitutional world that we're in, just because the lawsuit is ridiculous on its face doesn't mean it can't win, at least temporarily.
To the contrary, it may at least make it through the federal courts up to the Supremes. We'll follow it closely with your good help. Mark Krikorian, thank you for what you do at the Center for Immigration Studies and through all the outlets that you employ to try to keep us smart about these issues. We pray that there will be a good outcome at the end of all of this. Next up, Matt Brodsky joins us. We'll talk with him about North Korea and also the axis between it and the Middle East and more straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.